Hey, you.
Yeah, I'm talking straight to your face. You, yeah. Come here. Do you know what time it is?
Hello, groovy podcast peeps. Welcome to episode 13 of the Movie Boom Review. Today's special guest is the amazing actor and writer, Emma Hadley. Now, before we get our teeth into these brilliant, brilliant film choices today, I just have a little note at the beginning of this episode. We have an Instagram account now, so please go and follow us. We are MBRPOD on Instagram. You'll find us straight away. Give us a cheeky follow if you want to keep up to date with all your Movie Boom Review news and when the latest episodes are coming out. Also, this episode presented new challenges because it was the first interview I've done live with the person in front of me. It's always been over Skype, but today we thought we'd try and do an interview face-to-face, socially distanced, of course. This provides a lot of challenges audio-wise because I don't have very good audio equipment at the moment. I'm saving up for a good mic, so hopefully future episodes will be better face-to-face. But for the moment, the audio quality isn't the best. But please bear with me because this episode is absolutely fantastic. Love you all. And let's get stuck into it, shall we? Hey!
And like you can hear loads of like laughter and like atmospheric stuff. It's like, see if you get your shit together. Podcast. Oh my god. And then there's the intro. It's like,
you've got an intro song.
I do have an intro song.
Can I hear it?
Yeah, we've actually started the podcast right now.
Oh! I just said podcast.
For those of you who are listening, this is the first episode where we have actual people in the room. It's not over Zoom. So I'm here surrounded by, we have Becca, we have Tessa, and we have Emma, whose episode it is today. Spoilers for Lady Bird and Sharknado are everywhere in this episode, is that right? Emma has made me a beautiful cup of tea. Welcome to episode, I think it's 13 of the podcast. Thought we'd do a bit more atmospheric stuff. A little bit less organised. Our special guest today is Emma, who is an actress, a writer and a legend. We've currently been job searching together, which has been mildly unsuccessful.
It's been a case of Dewey applies for a job, I find out what that job is and I apply for said job.
Which is fantastic. You guys are very welcome to stay if you want.
Do you want a cup of tea or what?
I don't know. You guys are like, we're just chilling.
No, I know, but I got shit.
You got to do your shit.
We're here.
Hello, I'm going to close that door actually.
Yeah, that's good.
Either they get to make Atmos or they make no moss.
No moss?
No moss.
No moss here, no penicillin for us.
How are you, Emma?
I'm alright, I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Welcome to the Movie Boom.
Thank you for having me.
It is fantastic to have you on. Such a legend before us, ladies and gents.
Glad to be here.
So, Emma?
Yeah.
This is kind of weird because I haven't really done an interview in person before.
Yeah.
I might actually rearrange the table. So that we got room for luggage.
Got a lot of luggage.
Got a lot of luggage to behold. Emma Hadley.
Hello.
Welcome to the Movie Boom Review.
Thank you. Welcome to you.
Welcome to me. Thank you. Welcome to you.
Oh.
Thank you for making me an excellent cup of Joe.
Is that what that is? Is that tea?
Or is it coffee? Joe.
Because I think it's coffee. Because in the Polar Express. They have coffee.
Was it hot chocolate? They had the hot chocolate song.
Maybe that was what Joe was.
Was like,
I always wondered.
It was like, what is it, Tom Hanks?
Joe.
Cup of Joe.
I thought you was then saying coal.
Cup of coal.
I don't know.
You don't want a cup of coal.
No, you don't.
Nah, it's not good. So.
Yes.
Emma.
Yes.
Emma Hadley.
Me.
If you were on a roof.
Yeah.
And you were having to save one film from being erased from existence.
Oh.
You had to jump from one rooftop to another. To ensure that this film survives the test of time, that everyone watches it, that it's important to the human race.
Lady Bird.
Directed by the amazing Greta Gerwig.
Indeed.
Who's already made an appearance on this podcast via Little Women.
Little Women.
Great film. Yeah. She's a brilliant director.
Yeah.
Emma.
Yeah.
If you... had a bow and arrow.
Yeah.
A sharp one. And the bow once touched... Once the arrow has touched something.
Yeah.
It disappears.
Mm-hmm.
But it can only touch one thing. What film would you choose to be touched by the arrow of justice?
But it has to be a film, obviously.
It has to be a film.
It can't be
like
atrocious.
Donald Trump or communism.
Well, in which case, it would be the one, the only, and I can only choose one, so I can only choose the first film and not the rest.
Mm.
But it would be indeed Sharknado.
It would be Sharknado.
Sharknado.
But first off, let's delve deep.
Into
the bug that is...
Ladybird. Is Ladybird, here's a question, is Ladybird usually as one word?
I always saw it as two words. I'm not going to lie to you.
I don't like lying. It was one. Yeah, it is one in it's terms one. Of the in the animal. So that is
got
ahead by the name of the film too. Indeed.
Emma, this is a great film.
It is a great film.
It's actually
brilliant film.
It's great, isn't it?
It is. What's, I mean, you can't say it isn't.
What's your one of your favourite parts of the film?
I think. The moment, easily, hands down, when her mum is driving off from the airport, played by the wonderful Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah.
Leaving her from the airport, that extended shot of the mother driving away from her daughter, and the genuine, obvious. Emotional struggle where she's like, is she gonna crack, and it's like, at what distance is it okay for her to actually go, no, actually, you know what, she's my daughter and I love her to bits, and then turns around and then of course she's gone. But that moment, and you don't know where she's driving and then you see she's going back to departures, and it's
you think that it's going to be all okay, but she's already gone.
She's
gone to the gate.
But it's not good.
That the dad in that family,
yeah,
has got one strong and very well placed head.
Mm.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, he's not an asshole. He's just a lovely man, isn't he?
He is a lovely man, and that makes me. I like actually the way they've then made the mother this, you know, it's a very real mother-daughter relationship. And she, by contrast, is playing bad cop a lot of the time.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I think you forget sometimes with your parents that they are also human. Because, you know, you've grown up with them telling, you know, enforcing this law almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That is the right way, the wrong way to think.
Mm-hmm.
Not all parents are lovely like that, and you know. But it's hard to think of an authoritative figure as human.
Yeah.
I feel like, think of Donald Trump.
I mean, that's a special example,
a genuine person. That's a mad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think with parents as well, there comes a point when you realise that your parents are indeed other people, and not just your parents, and I think... It'd be interesting to try and identify where that happens in this film, if it does at all.
Hmm. I don't know about you, but there's always been a time in my life where I've been driving in the car with someone like my sometimes my parents, sometimes my mate.
Yeah.
And I've just wanted to jump out of the car.
Yeah.
I've hated, you know, you feel that emotion where the only thing you can do is take off your seatbelt.
Yeah.
Obviously,
and
sense.
And it builds in it, yeah. Sense
gets in the way, but fuck me, that, like...
I know.
How cool is that?
And having the balls to go for it, really. She really committed to falling out that car.
She didn't just half-ass the fall.
No, that was an active go for it.
Like, I don't care, fuck you.
Shit in the wind, fall out the car.
Shit in the wind. My God, what have I got written down here? Yes, the script, which is also written by Greta Gerwig,
yeah,
is phenomenal. A really good example of that is the breakfast scene, where they keep talking over each other and the subjects keep switching on a dime.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I wanted to make my own fucking eggs and da-da-da-da. And then the dad's just sitting there eating his breakfast slowly.
Yeah.
I think that's a really good depiction of family life.
Definitely. And I think that also, like, the first bit I noticed was the very real and possibly also just due to Saoirse Ronan's, obviously, astounding performance. But absolutely. When she says, I'm sorry I'm not perfect, amid an otherwise very chilled dialogue.
Yeah.
And... it's something that actually is very easily said, but does cause a little bit of...
Yeah, it's because, like, I think everyone, especially I, definitely had a phase of telling up. I'm sorry, I'm not perfect.
Yeah,
you know, but actually seeing it in that film, like, kids go through so much, don't they?
Uh-huh.
Like, you don't really realize how much you've gone through as a kid until, you know, you really think about it.
And that's what's so great about how this, when there are those fleeting moments of her growing up and I guess her adolescence, but when there are the fleeting moments of romance and the fleeting moments of little snips, like snippets of the prom night and a little bit of like everything, it's the and it's like the pace of this film, and that's how it maintains the pace, is because it's like all these little moments, but actually also when you're living those moments, it's only really the little bits, the little seconds of like magic, like little pockets of magic within those romantic moments that will stay with you.
It's like, and you're right, because like I think the pacing in this film is unlike any sort of pace I've ever seen, actually, in film. It's so good!
Mm-hmm.
I was so gobsmacked. Like, you know, there's that scene when Lady Bird is lying with her first boyfriend, looking at the stars, like, I thought we should call that star Claude. that's too pretentious.
Yeah.
But, like, you'd think in, like, a normal rom-com, that scene would milk a good 15 minutes.
Yeah.
That was done in, what, 3 minutes? Because we know the cliche.
That's the thing. And we know the rest of the scene, and it's that thing and make which I really admire when, like, you know, watch or read a piece of, even just like reading a script or something, you know, when you see that not all the scenes there, because weirdly enough, scenes can happen that we don't see, and moments of scenes can happen that we don't see, because like there are moments of our own lives where we might think that could go in a film, but not the whole bloody thing. No one wants to watch me clean my teeth, like, for 6 minutes in a day, do they?
No, you're right. And, like, it's about choosing. Because, like, the trope of looking up at the star.
Yeah.
I think this is why she put it in, was that, you know, that's such a cliche in film, in rom-coms. The two lovers lying down, looking at stars.
Yeah.
It was like, yeah, okay, let's put that in, but let's not highlight it.
No.
Let's make it...
And it contributes to that how it's underscored by this just like music that's making it not a big deal. You haven't got some like orchestral strings, cinematic orchestra playing in the background, you know, massively hyping the whole thing up. But you've got this, you know, pattering kind of casual everyday life, driving along the road and you're looking out the window kind of music coming on, and it's not, it makes it. It acknowledges that it's a cliche without making it one.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I think it's really interesting the mention of music, because I think the opening credit scenes, like after the first scene, and then so you've got all this like Catholic imagery, you know, that's so, you know, very religious, very drummed in. Oh, this is a religious setting. Yeah. But they've got this really funky music going on. And it's like, yes.
But it's not too much either. It's not too rebellious music that makes you just go, yeah, okay, fine. Oh, like, you're trying to be, yeah. It's just very casual. Actually, I'm glad you mentioned the opening sequence as well, because I noticed there was a moment where they were, holding their hands in some form of, I think, in a some kind of prayer, and looking at their hands or something, and it was becoming, you know, very ritualistic, and then just the first set of titles came up.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
I think this is also a film about, you know, her coming to, you know, understand who she is as a person, and how she fits into society, and how society might look at her.
Yeah.
You know? And I really like the acting side of it.
Yeah.
Like when she sees the boy for the first time that turns out to cheat on her with another boy.
Yeah.
And she and he's like, I want my hair to, I want his hair to, you know, like you know people like that in this
industry. Yeah.
His hair, the characters on Plane's hair must be curly.
Yeah.
You know, I'm taking it seriously. And I think I was like that a bit when I was younger, doing like the school play. I was playing the Cat in the Hat, and I was like, I really want his character to be stood out from that. I was like, nine.
But there's also watching that, obviously, in the industry that we're in, and like watching back all the moments when they're in rehearsal, and it's just brilliant. The community, you actually see what a lovely family it is from the outside. Because usually we're like within the family of like the theatre world or whatever, and the film world, and that's so nice. And then looking at it from the outside, it's like, God, we're part of a nice little group, aren't we?
Yeah, and I think a very close-knit group, even if you don't know, you know, you might meet someone that you've never met before.
Yeah.
Who's in the industry, and you just will get on like a house on fire.
Definitely.
Because we're just a bunch of lost people. Looking for other lost people
wandering.
Who like to show off once in a while.
Indeed.
How fucking scary is that piece of shite?
Just the moment as well where the coach is drawing the game plan. And go, this is singing! The white lines, this is singing! And you guys are going to come in strong and you're going to attack.
Do
not talk amongst yourselves. God, I think that actually might be a more effective way for doing it. We always had like staff who were doing the school musical, and then we'd have all the rugby lads would come in and do it in the final year. It's just like a rite of passage, and to be honest, they probably would have appreciated a game plan that was more like singing.
It's such a genius thing, isn't it, having a PE coach
do
the performing arts.
Yeah.
There's like the Tempest. After, what is it, the last monologue, he just stands up and goes, Yeah! Like, this is a great film. And we watched it. We was three in a bed last night. It was you, me, and Tessa.
It was indeed.
Watching Lady Bird.
Lady Bird.
I've written it down, and I'm going to say it. It was when, so Lady Bird's best friend in the early days, who fancies the maths teacher.
Oh, yeah.
And Tessa went, if she gets groomed, I'm going to be pissed. Just like...
There were some highlights of quotes while we were watching. Just also those instinctive reactions you have. Mm-hmm. Where we both noticed the communion wafers.
So
they were eating out the pot. And talking about masturbation while they were eating communion wafers. What an absolutely brilliant, real thing. Actually, also I love that, the way that they talk about, like, female pleasure during, like, sex or, like, pre-sex at an early age, and how... and there's a line that I wrote down where Lady Bird says, I'm not sure mine's right. And I love that. Yeah, like, talking about her vagina.
Yeah.
And it's like, God, yeah.
But that's...
Talking about that at that age.
But that's what it is, that I think. Especially, like, being... I think when it comes to, like, Catholic schools and things, like, the religion is so wafer thin. Like, you can really... wafer thin.
Wafer, communion wafer. No, carry on.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, no, that's why I thought. Pan. Oh my god. God, not on the podcast. But no, it was like, so, because like I had friends who went to Catholic school and stuff, and it's like, I think some people went to Catholic school that we know, right?
Yeah.
And like, of course they're going to talk about sex. They, you know, unless they're completely devoted to Christ.
Yeah.
But it's true, like, because like you just do talk like that, don't you, amongst your friends that age? And I feel like that doesn't really...
You do, but I feel like there's a certain stigma around it, which this film works really well to kind of reduce. Like, any girl... I saw that. I watched this film in the cinema with my mum for the first time when it first came out. And like... I just remember sitting there, and there was this kind of like awkwardness of the fact that I was at an age, we were at a stage in our kind of like relationship where I might not like shout about the. I was saying this while the kettle's boiling.
Sorry, we're really
entertaining.
No, go for it. Go for it. sorry, this is live.
Oh, it's so live.
It's so good.
Yeah, but amongst friends and amongst family, like when you're that age, just opening up the whole pleasure side of sex instead of like, careful.
It was always, I think, I don't know if it was the same with you, but like, you know, my parents talked about when I was of age.
Yes.
They took me to, I don't think they were so comfortable with it, so they took me to a museum about it.
Did they?
And they're like, so this is how it works. Tank. Yeah, like I was in the London Museum or something. It was like a big baby embryo.
Oh my
like,
god! Model.
And I was like, nice. "So, Derry, this is how it works." And I was like, "Right, what works? What's this?" You know. And I think it's an exciting part of life when you don't quite know, then you're learning, and it's a bit naughty.
Yeah, and I'd also like to think that like people watching this with parents at home or whatever, like. Maybe not in the cinema, situation, obviously, but like there might be a case where a daughter's like does turn to her mum and say, "When's a normal time to be having sex?" Or like, or just like, "Do you think that's a normal time to be having sex?" And just opening dialogues because it's just and while we're on this topic, actually, it did make me laugh when the nun did say 6 inches for the Holy Spirit. Which out of context sounds completely different if you haven't seen the film, but that was dancing.
Yeah, it's a great film.
It is a great film.
Saoirse Ronan is fantastic in it.
Yeah,
I think especially every boy who is remotely and like me will have the same physical reaction to seeing Timothée Chalamet. I was disgusted. Every bit of, I mean, I don't know. And we're talking to Becca about it before the podcast. Who there's a bit in it where he asks Lady Bird, "Do you have a phone? Do you have a cell phone?"
No.
It's like no, like good girl. And apparently that makes some people. Do you melt at that?
I mean, personally, I'm one of the many who, one of the few perhaps who is immune to the charms of Timothée Chalamet. But
I mean, he's a very good looking boy, right?
Man. But yeah,
I know it's a written thing, and I think he was definitely written like that for a purpose, right?
Yeah.
But I think I don't know a genuine physical. Oh, what, Timothy? What?
To Timothy or to he's, Kyle?
Kyle.
Okay, cool.
Because I think that's such a funny role to have as well.
It is a funny role.
Because I definitely know people like that, and they definitely piss me off.
Oh, and the whole, oh, that was my first time. Oh.
Well, for people who have watched Lady Bird, we're talking here about the scene where Lady Bird loses her virginity. And after, even though Timothée Chalamet is doing this whole, you finished?
Yeah.
I'm done. And she goes, "We have each other's flowers. I'm so happy." She'd made it up to the cool kids.
Yeah.
She has a cool friend. She's had sex with one person and they've both lost their virginities to each other and it's magical. And he goes, "I haven't. That was my first time. I lost it to da da da." It's like, "You're lying." It's like, "Well, I haven't lied in 2 years." Like, fuck off.
Also, I haven't lied in 2 years. I haven't lied in 2 hours and it's causing me problems.
Yeah. I don't know. Oh, I don't know if you heard that, but they're outside smoking.
Laughing. And I laughed. But yeah, and also I feel like this is a classic, and I said it last night, so I feel like I should say it now, this is a classic example of someone having bad chat. Really bad chat.
This is a good point.
But
this is a good point.
You know, think they're fucking brilliant, and so you don't even notice.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, isn't it? I mean, I'm sure you've had... I've definitely had it before now, but, like, there are some people that you can't... You know, their chat is... their chatter. So, for those of you who aren't down with the crowd, chat is flirting language. Flirty language.
And just sort of...
general banter. And they're not very good at it, but because you're so, you know... enamored and in love with this idea of this person.
Well, that's the thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
the idea.
You don't really notice, and then they let you down. That's the definite thing that I think it's a very human thing to do, where you fall in love with the idea of someone.
Yeah.
But their general being and chatter.
Slightly questionable. Yeah. And this is something that, as an audience, it's like you're it's in a way that you would laugh at the characters, but you laugh, but you're laughing at her and at yourself at the same time, at them all, yeah, because it's like
ha ha, you're going through that. I can't believe you're falling for that. Like I have before
like,
now.
I have.
Oh God. It's like it's a good thinker. Emma
Hadley!
Yeah. Yeah. Should we get about rating?
Yeah.
Do you know what the boom-o-meter is, Emma Hadley?
I don't.
Well, I'll explain to you and to our listeners back at home. Right, so the boom-o-meter is this. We have five categories, Emma.
Five.
We have five. Do you know what they are? I'm going to tell
you.
What
are they?
We have acting, visuals, music, writing, and emotional connection. We rate those out of 10. We add them all together, and then we have badges.
Yeah.
You have the blown fuse badge, and you get that if it's a 1 or 10, 1 to 10 points. You get the bottle rocket badge, which is 11 to 20.
Bottle rocket.
Firecracker, 21 to 30. Dynamite, 31 to 40. And Emma Hadley drinking her frothy coffee. If you get a nuclear rating, that's 41 to 50 points.
Do I get another frothy coffee if I get a
if you get,
nuclear?
I will make you a frothy coffee. But, like, a lot of people do get a nuclear badge, and I've had to make a lot of frothy coffees in my time.
Mm. That's a quote I won't forget anytime soon. Intriguing. Okay.
Oh, God.
10's quite a big number. It's quite a big scale for you to... Sorry, for those of you listening, Doe is currently trying to navigate an error and a window.
Do you call this an error?
It is an error.
We call it a horse at home.
A horse? Like a clothes horse?
Yeah.
Ah.
Try it out.
Well, I think, yeah.
But yeah, 10 is like, you know, but you know, we get there.
Yeah.
And what we notice on this podcast is some people's favourite films aren't so good, objectively.
Okay.
And some people's films that they don't like actually have some good qualities that bump them up.
Okay.
So we'll definitely see how Sharknado fits in there.
Yeah.
Right, so, Emma Hadley.
Yeah.
What are we giving acting for this film?
Across the board.
Across the board. And I think I'm just going to put my 2 pence piece in the slot, right?
Yeah.
I think all the acting in this is actually fucking brilliant.
I can't think of many moments where I went,
yeah. Yeah, there was no yeah. Maybe in the actual play in the film, which was also a brilliant thing. You know who else is fucking brilliant in this film? Is her name's Beanie in real life? Beanie.
Brilliant.
Beanie.
Yeah. The friend.
Yeah. Feldstein. She's great.
She's fantastic. She's absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
And absolutely nails her part, her role. And the scene when she cries at the end, it's one of those, she's one of those people, I've got a friend... a friend, Hat, if you're listening, who is exactly, he was the same in the sense that she cries, the world cries.
Yeah, really.
The warmest ray of sunshine. She cries, you're gone.
I've met Hat, and I could vouch for you that if she was crying, I too would burst the dam of my tear ducts.
Yeah.
But Yeah, and that utter switch as well in that scene where she's crying and there's like just little cheese.
Literally.
Brilliant. Yeah. Fantastic. Yeah, what do we give acting in this then?
Or is it gotta be a whole number? Whole number.
A whole number, no decimals.
In which case, I'm going to give it an 8.
An 8? Okay, I would have gone higher.
Now, so this is because I can't really fault. I haven't faulted anything. I can't fault it. So let's go 9. But I'm not bridging the gap between the 9 and the 10 because that's reserved for performances where I am off my rocking horse.
And are you not off and off your rocking horse? Fantastic. I will give you a 9. I'm glad I would have given it more than an 8.
Yeah.
But that's absolutely cool. Something that we haven't really touched on, but I feel like is also a really lovely part of the film, is the visual aspect of it.
Massively.
Yes, so cool.
I wrote down, when we were watching, I wrote down yellow door, actually. There was a yellow door. The door is yellow on the front from the inside. This is more of kind of like a design element, but it does contribute, obviously. And there's a moment which... Also, there are two similar, very similar shots, one within their kitchen at home, and then one about 45 minutes later into the film when they're looking around the houses together, the mother and daughter. And she's left, the mother is left alone in this kitchen.
Is that that one shot? That's like my favourite shot. Brilliant.
The other one, which was fantastic.
Yes, I think that's a definite one.
Is Sam Levy's the DOP for this?
He is the DOP. Well, she is. I'm not sure if it's a she.
I think I believe.
He? Lovely.
That extended shot in the car.
Yeah, I mean, you can't fault that. No. And I think that's purely also performance. I know it would have to take me a few years of experience of acting to even touch that level of emotion in that scene. It's when she's driving away from the airport, isn't it?
Yeah.
So subtle.
It is.
So strong. Such a strong character. Yeah, God.
Absolutely fierce. And that also that strong representation of a... Because I think a mother character sometimes can be put in a certain box, particularly in like pop culture and stuff. And we see the mother being this mother who's like limiting to our dreams and successes and wild behavior, but it's purely out of care. And she drives away with a having to be this stern but strong and bloody powerful and inspiring woman. If I'm like that when I'm her age, I will be.
You will be. You're gonna be a great mum. You'll be a fantastic mother. You'll be great for your babies. So what can we give visuals then? I love the scene when they're driving through. Is it Sacramento or is it San Francisco? Sacramento. Driving through. I think it's when she's that last monologue when she's like, "Did you ever get emotional driving?" And it's just this. I think it's very silent, very calm, peaceful imagery that I think actually represents her, even though she's throwing up. After she's gone to uni, she's throwing up and she's meeting people. It's that calm of, this is where I belong, though, isn't it?
And then that final shot, the end is so abrupt.
Yeah, just like that. It's good.
I'm a bit of a sucker. Quite stylized shots and visions.
It's a Wes Anderson complex.
The last film I watched before this was The Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, great. We literally did that last week. So, yeah, great film. Great movie. It's that scene where it's just by the end and she's just bought a pack of cigarettes and she's standing outside the shop with the Coca-Cola sign. It's very set, brilliant, beautiful. Mm-hmm. Be harsh.
Well, I think for what it is, I give it easily an 8.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe even a 9.
Okay.
So my preference in relating to it, I don't know where that sits within how the review works, but...
I think, well, it comes from a place of what your gut feeling. I can challenge you on it, but, you know, it's what you think. You've watched the film, you know, you've watched several films. you know, you in your subconscious have a benchmark for each of these subjects.
Yeah.
So I think go with your gut.
No,
you did give a beautiful 9.
I think I'm going to go 7.
Beautiful. The music's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's really brilliant.
But in a way that you don't always notice it that much.
I think so, and I think that's also part of a great score.
Yeah.
Is sometimes when you don't notice it. Yeah. And sometimes you need big, powerful pieces. But this film really screamed subtle music. Mm-hmm. It needed subtle music.
Yeah. And had the occasional song that could be, you know, recognised. And you go, oh, that's, yeah, cool. But it let the story do its bit and led alongside the story.
They ran
on parallel tracks.
They held hands.
Tugging it along too much. They held hands.
They held hands exactly. Into the end.
The score held hands.
The score held. Just hire me. Hire me and Emma. We're very bright individuals. Using metaphors.
If anyone can hold hands.
Hold hands.
Like the score.
Very much like the score and
the storyline.
The storyline. What are we giving it?
It plays the part of an ensemble member doesn't stand there and go,
Look at me.
And I admire that. I'm gonna give it an 8.
Fantastic. I will agree with you there.
Yeah.
Okay, this next subject, I think personally anyway, I think is held high.
Yeah.
Held very high is the writing of the film, the written word, the dialogue. I think to write something so relatable, I mean, not towards me really, because me, you know, I'm a boy, and I'm not saying like that it's not relatable in its own way to me, but watching you and Tessa watch it last night, you guys related heavily to the subject matter.
The scene, that's what I wanted to make sure I mentioned, the scene when they're shopping.
Yes.
And they're looking at it, and they're having an argument, and she's just like, oh, I can't remember what they're saying now, and it's, oh, why don't you do this? Oh, you don't want to spend Thanksgiving with us, and they're having this in-depth bicker, and then it goes, bap, what about this one? Oh, it's perfect! And cutscene. It's fantastic and a delicious moment.
I think it's the purest scene of love in that film. Because they're bickering, but because they can bicker towards each other.
It's nothing when they
love each other.
Yeah.
And that dress was perfect, and they both knew it.
Yeah.
And I would have looked fabulous in it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You agreed.
Oh.
You agreed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Next grad ball.
Oh, please.
And I'll be wearing a beautiful
dress. Hey, if they reschedule this one, you've got to get pull your finger out. It's not going to be
I actually anything. Might just wear a dress, but, you know, why not?
I think
it might look really cool.
Brilliant. I've seen you in many items before.
I think you've also seen me a bit itemless as well.
I've seen you rather itemless.
I'm very drunk. Right. we joke on this podcast.
We joke.
Don't feel guilty about giving it a high mark, because it deserves that.
It does deserve that.
I think my mic's picking this up. It should do. It looks like it's registering.
I'm a real bastard for being much more critical about film. No, being much more appreciative of a really powerful theatre script than a really powerful film script.
And that's fair enough. Absolutely.
In which case?
You've got the balls. No one's going to listen to this.
Oh, really? Do you think I'm...
No, I'm joking.
Oh, I'm going to give it a 9.
Yeah. It is written very well. And that's a lovely mark. That's a lovely mark. Finally, for this film, how do you emotionally connect to this film, Emma? I know what you're going to say.
Out of 10.
I know what you're going to say.
Out of 10.
Yeah, baby.
Yay.
Yes.
100%. Can't be anything else.
Yeah, no, I completely agree.
Can't be anything else.
I just remember watching you and Tessa watch that film last night, and it was emotional to watch you guys' reaction, you know, to the subject matter.
I think I will always hold that film very dear to my heart, and it'll be one of those that I will show to future generations should they come to exist.
I hope they come to exist. Blimmin' heck, yeah. Right, let's look at that. Okay. Emma Hadley.
Yeah.
It looks like I will be making you a frothy coffee.
Oh, a frothy coffee.
Yeah, baby.
Way.
Yeah, baby. You got 43 out of 50. You got a 5-star nuclear badge. Here you go.
Thanks so much.
No one can watch what we're doing, but I genuinely handed you air there.
Yeah.
I handed you an air badge.
But I can't really put it, I don't want to put it down, so I'm just going to lay it.
Just lay it there, and you can pick it up later.
Amazing.
What a great film. Thank you for bringing that on.
Brilliant film.
And let's go, well, from a critically acclaimed, fantastic, beautifully created film by the mind of Greta Gerwig, the amazing director, to Sharknado. Now, I haven't watched this film fully. Before we started recording, I watched the first half hour with you.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay, look. It's one of those films that is so bad it's good. And I've never really come across a film like that except The Room with Tommy Wiseau. I watched this film and I was enjoying watching it. But it was fucking awful.
I think you can enjoy, for comedy value, the first 15 minutes maybe, without doing something else to also occupy your mind.
Yeah, it's true, it's true.
And then beyond that point, it's still entertaining if you're currently occupied with something else. In isolation.
In isolation, it's a great film because you can just laugh at it. It's a film that will morally, morale, it brings up morale.
Boosts your morale.
It boosts your morale via shock.
It keeps the home fires burning.
That opening scene on the boat.
It's when the boat has that massive rock and the guy sat at the table flies. Like, literally, it's enough to turn... throw them around the room, and he just slides off the table.
It's like the director's gone, so we're going to put a shaking effect in post.
Yeah.
Just, could you slump on the table? And that scene where, like, I mean, as you said, like, you're a surfer.
Yeah.
Pretty much, right?
Yeah. I class myself as one.
You are a surfer. I've seen photos, so I can vouch. And, like, sharks just don't... don't eat people.
No, this is right. One of my main issues with this film is that it just completely demonizes sharks. Sharks are widely misunderstood creatures, hence a lot of the fear surrounding them. And they will go for you if they think you're a fish, hence, say, like the fins on your board, maybe.
Yeah.
And if they feel threatened, but they're lovely, mostly quite. Misunderstood, hunted, unnecessarily hunted creatures. You know, more people die in the UK every year from cows than sharks.
Which is scary, because I live very close to cattle.
Yeah.
And they're dangerous creatures.
So, yeah, and also I think they need a bit of a surf coach on this film.
Yeah, there wasn't great technique using.
Don't be biggie.
You know, he's standing, right, there's like an extra standing just within the sea. You know, you've got the beach, and then you've got this really, like, the really little bit of the sea. He's standing in the shallowest part, and he gets eaten by a shark. How is that shark below the water at that point?
Well, this is the issue. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because there's not enough room between the sand and the top surface of the water for the shark to fit in between.
Did we talk about physics here? How a shark can't fit in this body volume of
water?
Yeah,
we are.
But then again, it's a film about a tornado of sharks.
Well, so really, we're barking at the wrong tree.
Does it make sense then that if a tornado of sharks is possible, eating an extra in the shallowest part of the sea? Also possible.
Well, and if you think about it, if we're going to criticise films purely based on their likelihood to, like, the events, likelihood to occur, then we could write off quite a few fantasy films. However,
it's true.
this film, it's not even remotely believable.
No.
Due to the fact that I was actually saying to Dewey earlier that it seems like a campaign thing on Call of Duty or something. Like, it seems like the quality and the CGI is second to none.
It's not good. There's one part when the shark's in the bar and they kill it with a pool cue. Yep, that's a sentence I just said. And it doesn't have eyes. I think it's like a dolphin skin. It was really hard to watch. And, like, there's this one part where they're in the car driving. And it's like, if there's one thing I know, it's how to time a wave. And he, like, counts down and drives and misses the wave of sharks. And it's like if Timothy Chalamet's character...
Yeah.
My reaction to that was a film.
Oh, really?
I did it.
Yeah, too. I think also it's kind of a bit like... I remember... going on the I don't know if you've been to Alton Towers, the theme park,
mm-hmm.
and going on the ride Air.
Yes,
well, did you go on when they had the virtual reality headsets?
Oh,
so I went on how since that was a thing, they've now scrapped it. But it was all a little bit surreal, and you kind of felt very disorientated. I felt a very similar feeling watching this film to being on Air with a VR headset, because but even their heads go below the water. You feel like you're in an animated game, Space Invaders, but with hammerhead sharks with their mouths open, like kind of like rushing towards you.
Yeah,
and I think it kind of feels a little bit like a trip.
Wrong, and I'm looking at the amount of Sharknado films that are. So there's one, two, three. Sorry, so I'll actually tell you the names of these films. So we've got Sharknado, we've got Sharknado 2, the second one, we've got Sharknado 3, oh hell no, Sharknado the Fourth Awakens, Sharknado 5, Global Something, and The Last Sharknado. It's about time.
I mean, they know what they are, so that's...
They're not trying to be bigger than what they are.
No.
And, you know, there's something respectful in that.
Also, just the, not to bring it up, but I do have to bring it up, which
Please.
Is the nature of the shots of most of the women in this film.
I think it's very old-fashioned Baywatch before, you know...
It's, the zooms are very well thought through in terms of...
Almost grossly so.
Yeah.
And it's like, it was an... even when it's not the main focus of the shot.
Let me use my tourniquet... Let me make a tourniquet out of my apron, which is the only thing covering my frontage.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And like the other... Like when that he's flirting with that other surfer and they're walking past and she's like... pushing her chest forward. Like, you could tell that she was directed to do that. And probably by a man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Which I wasn't very comfortable watching.
No.
I only watched half an hour of it. I don't quite know where else we can go except rating it. Is there anything else you have?
I'm just trying to think about music, to be honest.
Visually, it's not bad for its time for a budget of $2 million. Not bad, except that the CGI was dog shit. Was dog shit. And we all know dog shit.
There's something actually quite nice about the camera when they were in the sea. There was something very surreal about the. I don't know if it was just the kind of lens that was being used, but it was just very. Otherworldly.
Yeah, you're right.
It's very fitting for such a film. although I think it was in an age of naturalism, but I think that kind of went out the window with the tornado of sharks.
I don't think you're wrong, actually.
I think music-wise as well, actually, I'm just thinking the music that I can remember sounded a bit like, you know, like I remember I think my first phone was like one of those little flip-up
Like a
Samsung little thing, or like Nokia brick things, and they came with like two songs downloaded, and one of them was like a borderline rock song. It's like kind of like that music. If you played all the free Samsung music,
yeah, it's all royalty free. It's Pornhub music. Exactly. Let's be honest.
It really is. Like, Sharknado soundtracked by Pornhub.
Can I save you from those sharks? Let me take off my apron and use it as a tourniquet. Show me your boobies.
Ding ding ding. Little bit of an electronic drum kit in the background. Got some hi hats ticking away.
And like, I think you're right in saying that the parallels between Lady Bird and Sharknado, where there is some partial nudity in Lady Bird, but it's done respectfully and realistically.
Yeah.
I could probably tell you I have never been to a beach where a woman is openly thrusting her upper body towards someone she's never met before.
No. No.
That's... obviously, I've also never been to a beach where sharks are flying through the air and trying to eat you.
There is a greater degree of respect in most areas in Lady Bird than in this film, I think. I think we can say that pretty safely.
Yeah, and absolutely.
Just the level of artistry is... I mean, art is subjective, to be fair.
It's true.
But the level of the precision of the artistry in Lady Bird is...
much higher.
Much higher.
Better, I'd say.
Better, I would also.
Shall we rate this film?
Give it a little rating.
Have another cup of tea.
Yep.
And forget all about Sharknado.
Fabulous. Ugh. I can't give it above 3, can I?
Ooh.
What? If I'm going to stretch, I could stretch to a 4, if you think that's more appropriate. Would you have gone 5?
No, I think 4.
Okay, 4. Okay. No, that's very true, actually. That's very true. They're matching the thing.
Yeah, they're not trying to make it.
Yeah. So I think 4. You have a very valid point.
Yes, good.
Yeah, we'll give them the extra 1 for the being thrown into a bit of a shit situation.
Visually, what are we looking at?
I did, there was something I liked about that while they were in the sea within the first sort of 10 minutes of the shot.
That was nice. The GoPro as well.
Yeah. And there was a lovely moment for those of you who haven't seen the film where there was a camera strapped seemingly to the shark. I would love to have played that role of the diver swimming around in a suit with a fin on his back and a little GoPro attached to him all day.
That's the dream job.
It's a workout, isn't it?
Yeah. Or a 5.
It can only be a 4 or a 5. Do you know what? Let's go 5. No.
That's 50%.
Oh, God.
Think about it that way.
Oh, God, no. I stopped A-level maths for a reason. I'm going 4. Oh, God, I'm giving the acting the same as the... That's a bit harsh on the act, isn't it? No. I'll give it a 4. Thank you.
Music.
Ooh.
Someone spent all day sampling that.
Yeah. I spent all day the other day cleaning my grandma's oven out. However, it doesn't mean I did a good job. I meant it was a day's work, but I didn't do the oven very well. The music with the...
I get you now.
I'm doing the music a 3.
A 3. No, yeah. That's fair enough. It wasn't very good.
Because there are, you know...
There are artists that did that music.
Yeah.
They deserve props.
Yeah.
Made of France, those.
Yeah.
How was it written? Poorly.
Yeah, I can't give it more than a 2.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's not a great film. I've been rushing through this, and it's actually good.
Yeah.
It just shows how much you just leave this subject. How did you mostly connect to... Now, think about it. You know, a seaside town being completely ravaged by airborne sharks with razor-sharp teeth, killing mothers, brothers, daughters... sons, grandparents.
Yeah.
It's a tragedy. What are we giving it emotionally?
I can't give them... I lost quite a lot of sympathy when one of them actually ended up getting seriously injured, not because of the sharks, but because they actually fell. They were pushed from a railing running alongside a set of steps of people trying to get down towards the shark.
Oh, yeah.
So I lost quite a lot of respect at that point, to be fair.
No, that's funny.
I don't think I can... I mean, I literally have no emotional connection to this film at all.
You can give it a zero. You also can give it minus.
I'm not going to give it a minus because then I think that's still an emotional connection.
True. Because you can have a very strong, disgusted emotional connection.
You know what, though? Because we've done it in this podcast, Zoe, I'm gonna give it a one for emotional connection.
Mm-hmm.
Because I will always remember it fondly as part of this lovely podcast experience.
Oh, Emma. Thank you.
Emma!
No, I forgot which one it was.
No.
That was too much effort.
Emma!
No.
You got a bottle rocket rating, which is 2 stars.
Woo!
Great.
God, we've got to the top of the scale and almost the bottom.
And almost the bum.
What a lovely contrast.
So I give you a nuclear badge and a bottle rocket badge for badge.
Sorry.
So hot.
Work on your articulation, my friend.
I will give you a nuclear badge.
Thank you.
For Ladybird. A bottle rocket badge for Sharknado. Take them with pride, take them with shame.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Twitter, which is the @MBoomPodcast. We have a Facebook, find us there. And now we also have a Instagram account, go follow us. Let me just figure out what we're called.
It is
MBR Pod. So that's spelt all lowercase MBRPOD. Go find us on Instagram. Go give us a like and a follow. If you want to hear or see more of Emma Hadley, where Ooh. Can they follow you?
Oh, Emma Hadley is on Twitter @EmmaRHadley. Instagram @EmmaRebHadley and Facebook @SurprisinglyEnoughEmmaHadley.
I couldn't have seen that coming.
No, you could not. Or you'll find us in some, hopefully in something soon.
Something soon.
Yeah. We're all keeping our fingers and our toes crossed.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my God! It's a show!